everybody. I'm Logan. I'm here with the Toe Meets Leather podcast. We're joining you for a new segment here today. We're starting our tour to Georgia, where we're going to be covering some of the up-and-coming schools in Georgia. And today, we're going to be covering Kennesaw State University. And with me today are our producer, Tommy Keen. Tommy, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Logan. Thanks for inviting me onto this one.
And a Kennesaw State grad himself, the man solely known as Steven. How's it going today, Steven?
Doing great. Thanks for inviting me on.
It looked like you're really enjoying yourself over there. You got your dog in your lap area, and you got a beer in your hand, so you can't be any happier than that.
You know, I'm doing pretty good right now. Got the NHL skills competition on. Just a full day of sports.
Oh, gosh, a sports leather through and through. Quickly, I'll give you a background on Kennesaw State. So Kennesaw State has grown a lot since its founding in 1963. It was originally a junior college founded by the Georgia Board of Regents. Its original president was Horace Sturgis, who approximately 10 years after its founding was able to move it from a junior college to a four-year college. Now around 1981, that was when Betty Siegel took over as the second president of the college, and that's where things started really kicking into high gear. She moved it up to have a graduate's degree program and moved it forward to having a lot of sports activities on site. She really put everything together for Kennesaw in the 90s, and Kennesaw saw a lot of sports championships in baseball, women's soccer, and a few other sports programs. Now, through to the present, they just recently got their first football team put on campus this year, and they've been so excited about that. Steven, why don't you give us a little background? What was it like having your first year for the football program?
You know, I was very excited that we finally got one. Of course, it would happen all my time at KSU. You know, I was there for the building phase, getting a team, getting everyone excited for a team. Right when I graduated, the next year, team's in. You know, it's great. Everyone around campus was excited for it. In matter of fact, it was actually put to a campus-wide vote whether we wanted a football team or not. And, of course, we voted yes. Who doesn't want a football team at their school? It's fantastic. You know, this first year was awesome. It's definitely a learning phase for the team and even us as fans. As fans, you know, learning, starting our own traditions and just starting new. We've all been fans of other teams, but going and your own school having one, you know, it's just great.
So why don't you give us a little background about the campus? I'm not sure that everyone's familiar with the area. It's kind of plopped right on top of a shopping center with Town Center Mall right down the road. But it's also unusual because it's done a lot of expanding. They've got the sports stadium itself for the football program is actually the women's soccer stadium, which is not itself located on campus. You kind of have to drive to it. And there's also a secondary campus at Poly Southern that just got assimilated in. How would you describe the campus itself? When I graduated from high school and I looked at the college, I didn't think it was one that I could get around without a car. It really was very spread out. Have things changed?
It has changed quite a bit. If you want to enjoy everything that the school offers, you're gonna need some sort of transportation. If you live on campus, you know, of course all your classes and all that good stuff is within max 10-minute walk top to bottom of main campus, but all the sporting facilities, the great rec center that we have, and we have a rec center that's, you know, five or six, you know, soccer/football fields with sand volleyball. We got a lake with a track that goes around it. You can't really get there without a car. You know, we call it the Bobs, the Big Owl Bus. You know, it's transportation for Kennesaw students, but it just doesn't do, it's not the same as if you had your own car. You're right, they are expanding like crazy. Even when I was there, there was no football/soccer stadium. There was no rec park. It was just this little campus you know, just right off the highway. And they're still expanding. They've recently purchased land across from the football stadium to grow that even larger. And then, of course, adding Southern Poly, you know, not only as a, you know, educational expansion for all their robotics and whatnot, but just in expanding the campus and expanding just, you know, the KSU name and the school.
So another thing I want to touch on really quickly, you've got a different perspective than a lot of other football fans. A lot of us coming into our college, we know that we're going to be fans of their football programs because they already exist. I'm kind of curious, as someone who's been around Atlanta, I assume most of your life, or in the area, you have other sports programs that you're a fan of. How does this compare, your love of this program and your feelings for it, compared to the other programs that you've cheered for your entire life?
So, outside being a KSU fan, I am a Georgia Bulldog fan. I know you guys love that. My brother and sister both went there, went to tons of games while they were in school. If there's a Kennesaw game on, I'm watching it, no matter, you know, well, I won't say no matter what. If it's on, I'm watching it. If it's conflicting with the big-time Georgia game, it may get the second screen. It's not going to get the main screen. You know, it's tough to just cut those allegiances hard like that. You know, I'm excited and watch a team, you know, the school that I went to. But it's, you know, hard to give up on, you know, years worth of fandom just, you know, off the bat like that.
Well, hopefully those feelings will change in the near future. We don't need any more Georgia fans.
No, you never have too many. Never have too many fans.
I don't care how many fans you have as long as you lose. I don't care.
Hey, you know, I'll go on a little Georgia rant for a little bit. New coach, Kirby Smart, coming off a couple national titles there at Alabama. You know, it's sad to see Rick go, but the future's bright. You know, and as long as we keep beating Tech 7 out of 8 years, it's not too bad.
I'm just pissed that we have to play Mark Richt every year still, but...
Hey, you didn't get rid of him. You still got him.
Yeah, I know. It's frustrating.
And now he's home. Makes it that much more scary. Yep.
He is.
He's free to run Miami the way he wants, like a tyrant, like a very lazy tyrant.
Now, you know, he had his troubled players in such a small town in Athens. I couldn't imagine a city like Miami.
Well,
that's just so much more opportunity for distractions, so to say.
Speaking of distractions, let's get back on our focus here. Tommy, you're actually familiar with the coach that they've got over there at KSU, Brian Bohannon. Why don't you give us a little background about him?
Yeah, so I actually was lucky enough to be working for the football team at Georgia Tech when Brian Bohannon was there. So I was actually filming on the field for practices and got to see him work. And it was really quite awesome to see him get the head coaching job. I think the general consensus around the staff was that he was one of the guys on Johnson's staff who would get the call if there was another program calling, be it a Georgia Southern, Georgia State, Kennesaw State, or somebody like that. He does have his roots in Georgia. You know, he played wide receiver at Georgia from 90 to 93. And then he ended up coaching a little bit around the state, West Georgia and Gardner-Webb, before Johnson picked him up at Georgia Southern, followed him all the way through Navy to Georgia Tech, and then got the offer at Kennesaw State. I think he's definitely the best hire that they possibly could have gotten. I think this program was just built perfectly from the beginning. Having Vince Dooley as the brains behind the operation was genius. You know, a guy who knows football through and through. He brought a national title to UGA, so he's obviously going to be loved and worshipped around the state. And he knew it was important to get the local guy, the guy who was born and raised in Georgia, played football for one of the schools in Georgia, and knew the recruiting landscape. And then he brings in Johnson's offense, which has done wonders for the state of Georgia with Georgia Southern winning 2 national titles there, and is really good for building a program. It's all about execution and your fundamentals. It's not about having the biggest recruits, which you're not going to with a brand new program. And they know that, and they've built it the right way, and everything looks great. And, you know, they've had sold out games their entire season. So I just think this entire program was built correctly. And every part of it was thought through.
Now, you brought up the offensive style that they run, and I do agree it's a good style for programs starting out. The spread option, many people at home might know it as the triple option, although Andrew would strangle me if he heard me saying that, but he's not here, so look off. Steven, as a fan of the school, I think a lot of people look at that offense and they're kind of not sure what to think, because it's not something that you want to see. You clearly don't see it at the pro level. And a lot of the schools that are big time in college football don't run that style. What are your feelings on that offense and how it's been run this season?
A little torn. You guys both hit, you know, the points. It's not a great offense to watch, you know, as a fan. You know, I think most fans like to spread it out, you know, throw it 50 times a game and, you know, deep plays down the field. You know, that's not what you're in store for. You're in store for the 4-yard run after 4-yard run. And it's very successful. You know, don't get me wrong. That's why I'm torn. You know, it's great for, like Tommy said, the recruits that we're getting. We're not getting 5-star athletes. You know, we're getting some good guys, and the system is just built for it. You know, so it's tough. I like that it's working, but it's sometimes it's hard for me as a fan to watch it.
It's definitely really stressful to watch as a fan. You know, never having those home run plays being sprinkled few and far between with however many 4-yard and cloud of dust plays is just stressful.
And then the thing is, with that offense, it's each play is dependent on the previous play. So, you know, if you get a 4-down or 4-yard run on first down, you know, you're set up pretty well for second and third. But if that first down play results in nothing, you know, it's hard to, you know, get a couple runs for 10 yards. And, you know, obviously they don't work on passing that much. You know, they had a big pass play every now and then. So that's why it's frustrating. If the drive doesn't start off right, it's just kind of scrapped from there.
Yeah, and then there's the fact that if you have a fumble, it just ruins the whole thing. And it seems like it's the kind of offense where the ball hits the air in the wrong direction, if you know what I'm saying, where you toss it backwards, and if somebody doesn't have the right hands on the ball, it's all over. The whole drive can just blow up in your face.
So let me ask you guys, because, you know, you may or may not have been fans of Tech before you guys, you know, went there. They brought in a new offense just like this when Paul Johnson got there. You know, what were your guys' thoughts of all of a sudden your team having this style of offense?
You know, I'll say that with this style of offense, it's when the going's good, the going's good. You know, when it runs well, it's a thing of beauty to watch, and it's really easy to get behind. But when you start struggling, you have a couple games that don't look good, or the season doesn't work out right, it's very easy to blame the offense on it. But the thing you got to realize is that a lot of the knocks on it, and, you know, like you said, if you don't get 4 yards on first down, you're set behind. Well, you know, that's kind of true for any offense as well. So it's kind of hard to make those judges. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's fumble prone. But really, if you look at Tech, if you look at Navy, Army, they're not fumbling more than any other school in any other offense. Yeah, they may fumble more than some of, like, Washington State, but that's because they'll throw interceptions because they never run the ball and stuff like that. But it is really easy to dogpile on it when it doesn't look right. But if you do take the time to watch and understand what's happening, start learning why he would keep it, why he would pitch it, you know, why they would, you know, throw a deep ball all of a sudden randomly, when you start watching the way other teams prepare for it, it really does become a very entertaining thing to watch, and it's a really good and easy way to start learning football and kind of the very basics on how coaches think, and will make all of football a lot more enjoyable to watch. But that's just my very biased opinion on it.
Go ahead.
My thought on the matter is, So I've always been a Bama fan, so I never really cared what offense the team was running. I actually liked the fact that they run a ground and pound style. But the defense always needed to improve.
The other thing I'll say about it is, looking at it from the other side, if I was a defensive coordinator and I had my pick of a job, I'd want to go to a program that ran this offense, because think about it. Every time they touch the ball, you know there's going to be, you know, at least a minute and 20 seconds coming off the clock every time. It's not going to be, you know, 20 seconds because they threw three incompletions and you're back out there. It's a long, sustained drive. All you have to do is stop the offense once and you get a nice, good break on the sideline. It's really good from a defensive side when it works, because it takes a long time for them to actually sustain drives and score points. So your defense is always well rested, and you know the games aren't as long, so the likelihood of injury goes down a lot more for your team.
I will say, you know, this offense is hard to strategize in defense. You know, that's the one thing you hear, like, you get a week and it's hard to replicate. You know, let's take their opponent, for example. It's hard for that team to replicate that style of offense, because it takes, you know, the timing and, you know, countless repetitions. And for that reason, I do like it, because it's tough to play defense against. And, you know, you like to cheer for something like that.
And it gives you a lot of hopes going into some of those games. So, Tommy, you're familiar with Bo Hannon and his recruiting strategies. So, could you give us a little background about the recruiting that went into this year, how they ended up with their quarterback, Trey White?
So I think their recruiting actually starts way, way before just getting Trey White, their transfer from Citadel. I think it goes all the way back to when they first started. And I think the most important recruiting that they did was recruiting the school and recruiting the local businesses around. So, I know, Steven, you talked about having a vote on the whole campus as to whether or not you want a football team. I mean, I think that's very big, and I don't think they're going to put that vote out there unless they know that you're going to vote for a football team, just to get that hype behind it. And, you know, that every part of that stadium is sponsored through and through. I mean, the student section is sponsored. The press box, every part of it is sponsored by some local business, which is the community buy-in. And I think Dooley knew when they put this all together that they were filling a void in Georgia that wasn't there before. It was filling that Kennesaw, Marietta. You know, there's a ton of people in the area that don't necessarily want to have to drive into Atlanta or all the way across Atlanta and even further to Athens to watch college football. And I think they got the buy-in early. And with that level of support, it's going to be really easy for them to keep recruiting kids through. And, you know, there was a really good quote that Bo Hannon had when he first walked in. Is, you know, he said, "Now I'm walking through this football stadium after going to a basketball game and thinking, you've got to be kidding me. A brand new football locker room with 101 lockers, and they don't even have a football team yet." You know, they had a brand new stadium, brand new locker room. Everything was built and had complete buy-in. So I think they just, every aspect of this team was built the right way. And built for sustained success. And, you know, they launched just 1 year after Georgia Southern and Georgia State moved up from FCS to FBS. So now they're the only FCS team in the state. So just everything about this program was built the right way with the right goals in mind. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them a powerhouse in FCS within the next 4 to 5 years.
That's a bold claim, saying they'll be a powerhouse.
I like it. I like it.
I do like how you pointed out. Sorry, Steven.
You know, and I like that they're going to be at that level. You know, you look at someone like Georgia State, you know, they started out at that level, but they jumped up way too quickly. And I think you can see the side effects of that. You know, they went to a bowl game this year, so that, you know, that's good. But they've just been one of the bottom feeders in the, you know, D1. For several years. So I'd like to see KSU stay for a little while, you know, similar to Southern, you know, get well established before you make that jump up.
I think they got a long way to go, but I do agree with Tommy. It's amazing how well thought out and managed this whole process was. Vince Dooley did a great job putting it all together.
Yeah, and I definitely think, like I've been saying the whole time, every aspect was thought out. You know, joining the Big South was perfect. There's a lot of really talented teams in the FCS there with Coastal Carolina, Charleston Southern, Monmouth, Liberty, Dayton are all good schools year in and year out. And, you know, playing at Eastern Tennessee State was really good. Give the guys a road game for the first ever. And, you know, they played in Steve Spurrier Stadium. So that's pretty cool experience. But, you know, they also peppered in some good schools that they would have a good shot against, like Edward Waters and Shorter and Point. You know, some lower level FCS and some D3 schools that they could definitely, or D2 schools, excuse me, that they could definitely compete against and get some pretty solid wins early. And, you know, if you look at their schedule in the very beginning, they started out, you know, winning three straight, and then they bounced back to two more wins right after that. And, you know, they beat Monmouth, who was definitely competing for the Big South at that point in the season. So finishing with a winning record, really, really good for the first season. They built their schedule right. They joined the right conference. It's just everything about this program is impressive, and the thought that went into it.
Steven, how long do you think that you want to wait to see this program progress? What would you say would be the next big step that you want to see out of this program moving forward?
Next big step? You know, they made such a jump in their first year. I mean, I don't think anyone could expect them, you know, competing so well inside of the conference, you know, finishing right in the middle. Next step, you know, compete for that conference title. You know, you are going against, like Tommy said, some big schools in Charleston, Southern. So I think competing for that conference in the next couple of years, and then, you know, ultimately making the playoff, the FCS playoff.
I think that'd be a good start. Do you think it'll take 5-10 years or even that long?
You know, I don't know what to expect, because I didn't expect the season they had. You know, I didn't expect them starting off, 5-1 and, you know, winning conference games and, you know, this and that. So maybe it just takes 2 to 3 years to start competing for the conference, and, you know, maybe 7-8 years before they win it.
And then they get,
you know, if you go based off their recruiting pitch, they said that everybody they recruited in 2014, part of their pitch was you're going to be competing in the playoffs before you graduate. So it's definitely a bold.
Hey, that's 4 years. I'd like to see that.
I think, yeah, there's a lot of confidence. I think Vince Dooley is definitely driving that, but it's always good to see that out of a young team that you're so energetic and you're pumped up about it. Tommy, we talked about Trey White earlier today. Why don't you give us a little background on just the players in general that Kennesaw State has, their big playmakers?
Oh, well, you know, the way that their team is built right now, they're still a very young team. You know, if you look down their roster itself, you're going to see tons of freshmen, and that's just part of building the program. You know, this is the first year they competed in football, so this is their big class. You know, they do have 99 guys on the roster right now, and I think there was 2 seniors in the whole thing, and that includes all your walk-ons and backups and everything. So, you know, they're only going to get better. But if you want to talk about the big playmakers, it all comes down to Trey White. You know, he's the maestro behind everything. You know, he had good blocking if you actually go back and look at the tape. And I was only able to find 2 games that I could actually watch this week. But he definitely knows exactly what he's going to do. And he's got that look of these run-first spread-option offenses. It's almost instinctual the way he acts when he does things. And so really, if you want to talk about big playmakers, it's Trey White first and foremost. And then everybody else just does their part. I haven't been able to find any real good statistics keeping all the way up and through to see who were the the big ball carriers, but I think if you looked at it, you'd see six or seven guys carried the ball a bunch and did a lot on that end.
I would like to give an honorable mention on defense. Again, like you said, there's not a lot of film to go off of, but I was just looking at some of the stats they had. This kid named Taylor Hinkle, or is it Hinkle Taylor? Taylor Hinkle, sorry. He actually had four interceptions on the season, and he was a big-time punt returner. I think that's a good sign when you got guys getting involved on both sides of the ball, and he seems like he's dedicated. Like you said, there's a bunch of people who started and a lot of good runners out there. Steven, you actually got to watch some of the season. Were there any players or plays that stood out to you?
How about the best play that never happened? First kickoff, first game at East Tennessee State. Receive the opening kickoff. Take it all the way back for a touchdown. So exciting. This is incredible. First game ever. First time ever touching the ball. Touchdown. Except flag, holding, coming back. That was pretty exciting, not gonna lie, for those mere moments before it didn't count. Yes, besides that, the game I attended against Gardner-Webb, it was a close game, fourth quarter, they're driving down, field goal doesn't help them at all, they gotta go all the way in for a touchdown. It's fourth down. They're inside the five. There is seconds left on the clock. They throw a pass. KSU jumps in front, intercepts it, clinches the game. Just like that, you know, the one game I was at, incredibly exciting. Walk-off interception, you know, game over.
You got to love those big finishes. I don't know. Tech's familiar with that this year. So, Steven, why don't you give it, since you actually got to go to a game, why don't you give us some background on what tailgating for a KSU game is like?
Yeah, so if anyone out there is familiar with, you know, the KSU and the landscape up there, they kind of condensed all of the tailgating, especially student tailgating, to one specific area. The old Brands Mart, which is not a Brands Mart now, it's just a big open building. Behind it is all the tailgating. So basically, for all the adults, and parents, and whatnot, from the parking lot to the stadium, you know, you don't see much. You just see this big old building on your way to the stadium. Well, behind it is all the good stuff, all the kids, all the students, you know, out there, you know, tailgating. The game that I attended actually had a pre-game concert, so that was a lot of fun. And it's just great, you know. I think just everyone was excited to finally do this for their own school. You know, we've been doing it for other schools, and you know, we're fans, but to just do that for your own school is great. It's more exciting.
You're telling me that's not a Brand Smart anymore? Where am I supposed to get the best brands at low, low prices? I can't buy it the BrandSmart way anymore. That sucks.
You can't.
But yeah, that's a really nice location considering it. That is actually within walking distance because I know the campus technically is not of the football stadium or the women's soccer stadium. Which do they refer to it as?
Definitely football stadium. Definitely football stadium now. It was the soccer stadium pre-football team. That's all changed.
Hey! How's that, huh? What's going on, brother? How you doing?
There's some excited KSU fans there in the background. Tommy, care to give us a little more background on the athletic side of the program?
Listen. Yeah, I know we've talked a little bit about the offense, but the one thing that's we've kind of skipped on is the defensive side, and I really think Kennesaw is setting themselves up to be a defensive team. If you look through just the score line for this past season, it's pretty impressive. They had seven games where they gave up less than two touchdowns. You know, they held Edward Waters, Shorter, and Gardner-Webb all to a touchdown or a touchdown and a field goal. So just and Presbyterian, they held them to 2 touchdowns, even though they lost that game. But it just shows that it's a very stout defense. When you start digging into the statistics a little bit, you'll notice that they held their opponents to just over 2,000 rushing yards on the whole season, which is pretty impressive. You know, they had sacks or tackles for a loss that resulted in over 300 yards of negative yards of offense when they're playing against that, averaging giving up about 150 yards a game total, which is very little in the grand scheme of things. So I definitely think that they're setting up to be a defensive team. Their offense, obviously, when it starts clicking, is going to be electric, but it was very impressive for a first season, considering these guys haven't played together before. And, you know, they don't have the leadership of the juniors and seniors that have played 2 or 3 seasons before. So it, really an impressive first season, especially considering they had 18 sacks on the year. So they were averaging over a sack a game. And those sacks alone resulted in over 114 negative yards. So good thing to keep an eye on that side.
And Steven, really quick, I want to touch on, do you see any upcoming rivals for your team after this first season? Any teams that you're really excited to beat?
Any rivals? Right now, the only schools you'd look at are the big schools. Of course, we're not going to play those schools anytime soon. So you'd have to start looking inside the conference. Outside of that, not much. You know, there's no – I don't hate those schools yet. Maybe after a couple seasons, you know, haven't beaten a team, then you start, you know, hating them. But right as of now, nothing yet.
I believe y'all played Georgia Tech in 2018, or is it 2019? So that'll be something to look forward to. You can hate on us just as much as hate on us for UGA.
Well, I've been doing that for years, so that's nothing new.
Hey, keep the hate train alive. That's what it's all about.
I will say that I was following the little bit of jabbing that was coming from Liberty right before that game, where their quarterback guaranteed a big win, and then Trey White had some choice words to say about that right back and forth. So I hope lights up again next year.
Yeah, unfortunately, that guy was right, because that Liberty game was rough to watch.
Doesn't mean you got to sit there and take it, man. God.
That just fuels the fire of hate that much more.
Yeah, and you know what? I was actually excited, because that was one of the few games that they actually had on TV, and it was a big letdown.
Where's that fiery Georgia Bulldog spirit where you get really pumped up and you're like, yeah, we're going to beat a team like Alabama. And then when you get blown out by 40, you're just like, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, definitely used to that too much in those big games.
Anyway, we're wrapping up here. I'm going to ask you the big question that we ask all our guests. If you compare Kennesaw State to an alcoholic beverage, what one would you compare it to?
So this is tough. I thought about it for a little bit. It has to be a mixed drink. So let's just start off with that. It has to be a mixed drink solely because we just acquired a new school. So now we're 2 schools in 1. We're mixed together. But it's tough because, you know, it's the second largest school in the state. So obviously a lot of people go there. But it's not well known yet. So what's something that, you know, is popular but no one drinks? I had a hard time coming up with that.
You don't have one? Tommy, you're a bartender. What's something popular that's no one drinks?
Way to throw me on the spot.
Like a Jaeger bomb or something. I don't know, those are kind of popular, but, you know.
Oh, okay. How about a bear fight? But I don't think you've quite got the kickback on your programs like something like that.
Not yet. Not yet. We're getting there.
Let's see.
You know, I'd say if you're going to throw me in the spot, I'd say something like a swimming pool. You know, one of those where you throw a whole bunch of stuff into a glass and then you pour blue curacao to make the whole thing look one color. Just kind of a mix of everything.
Or something that you start out with and then, you know, because you end up with something else, that's very relevant because a lot of people go to KSU before they go somewhere else.
How about, I got one. How about a Moscow Mule? It's a mixed drink. It's not the
Oh, this is great.
It's not the first drink you would think of, but it's smooth, it's got good taste, and it has a strong kick to it. And it's not as popular out here on the East Coast as it is in other locations, but it's coming on strong. And it's only going to get more popular.
I like it.
Great. Now I'm a big fan because I love Moscow Mules. So I can't not enjoy Kennesaw State games. You got me doing it. I almost called them Kansas States.
Hey, you know what? You wouldn't be the first one. Good old Vince Dooley did that in a press conference, of all places.
Tommy, I'll kick it over to you. You got any last thoughts on Kennesaw State?
No, I just want to thank you, Stephen, for joining us today and sharing your experiences and helping the podcast be a little better. Really appreciate it.
Hey, I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on. You know, love talking sports. Didn't mention that my degree was in sport management, so gotta love it.
So you know it up and down. You got any call-outs and shout-outs for your friends in the background or living it up?
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout-out to another sport, KSU, club sport, roller hockey. You guys may see the jerseys hanging up on the wall there. So shout-out, KSU roller hockey.
All right. I got to figure out where y'all are having that. That sounds like a heck of a good time. Anyway, thank you again for joining us, Stephen. It was a pleasure. To all our listeners out, yep. To all our listeners out there, thank you as always for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email at toemeatleather@gmail.com. Again, that is toemeatleather@gmail.com. The tour to Georgia will continue next week. Until then, fight on, Owls.